Welcome back, everybody, to the Axis of Easy podcast. This week, Meta sending your Ray-Ban glasses footage to Africa for review. They were just sued over that, by the way, Len, a few hours ago. That news broke. If you're a Canadian tire shopper, hacked. Go figure. Data breach, terrible. Millions affected, obviously. We have a Israel hack of an Iranian prayer app. In war, Len, all is fair, right? Is that what the saying is? All is fair in love and war. California mandating device-level age tracking. Linux Debian coming out recently and saying that they're going to implement those things. I'd be curious to hear your take on that, Len. I think we're going to have a discussion there. Debian just said it today. Yep.
Ooh, this is news to me.
That's a big one. So we'll talk about all that stuff. But first, as always, the intro.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Okay, buddy. Thursday evening, the usual slot here. What's going on in your neck of the woods? Things are good?
Yeah, things are wonderful. Just getting ready for golfing season, getting things all geared up. It's going to be fun.
Love it. Glad to hear that. I was experimenting with different camera lenses today, trying to find one that does a bit more bokeh aperture, I think is the word, but it's difficult. So I have like a couple of lenses here. I have to return all of them to Amazon tomorrow. Go figure. Lots of fun there. Anyhow, we have a show to do with six stories this week, so we're going to try and get through them all for you. We'll start with the quote of the week from last week. Mark actually made a comment that I've been butchering the names of the quoted person, so I'm going to try my best on this one. Let's see. Last week's quote, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. That was by Tolkien, so if you know J.R.R. Tolkien, great for you. Jonathan's the winner. Congrats, buddy. This week's quote, Len, the only clue to what man can do is what man has done. I like that a lot. That's good. If you know who those by, put it in the comment section. You can only look, of course, on the back of your Canadian Tire dollars for the answer. No Googling, no searching. And if you get it right first, put it in the comment section. Next round renewals on EasyDNS. Well, Ray-Ban, we knew this was coming, did we not? Does it not feel like we knew this was coming? Maybe not to Africa, but the leak, I think probably we knew it was coming.
Well, who the heck wears these Meta goggles?
Have you ever seen them in the wild ever?
No, I've seen them in a while, but then I don't go out to the wild to even see anything. So, right, let's be perfectly honest here. But the fact that it's harvesting data and the fact that the data you don't want to be harvested isn't really that shocking, right? Like, it's not knocking any of us over with a feather. But you're right. Sending it to Nairobi, though, the firm over there, like, why are they getting it? And the images they're getting are interesting stuff. It's footages of users, like, in bathrooms, people undressing, even people, you know, enjoying intimate times with each other, right?
Why are you wearing the glasses having sex with your partner?
Well,
what is the point?
You maybe want to see clearly what's going on. Furthermore, it's not just what the users, what if they put it down in the side and it's looking right at it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you just don't know. I mean, if they point it against a wall, they won't see anything unless it's got 360 vision. Who knows? But they did say that the sensitive data was going to be filtered out by the algorithm before any human sees it. But you know what? It failed to just do what it's supposed to do, right?
Shocker.
Right? Under this thing, under low light conditions, it's not working well to filter out what shouldn't be filtered out. The faces, you know, they're there. It's but you know what? The really interesting, they say read the fine print. That's what they're saying. They say, you know what, you guys bought it, read the fine print. If you see it, the terms and conditions say that it allows them the ability for manual review to improve the AI. So they understand that there's a work in progress. The AI needs some time to evolve, to figure things out, to make it better. And of course, some people are going to be human guinea pigs, and it's the people that are using the product right now. Why would you want to do it? I don't know. But you know what? The EU privacy regulators, they're looking at this, and they're saying that, this could be not informed consent over here, and this could be some problems over there. I would never use such a product. You wouldn't use it. Why? Is it people out there who just want to just have all this information they don't want to send to Instagram or TikTok or whatever? Is that what it is? Are people just that hard up for adding content
Do you know
what their social media?
Sort of. I'll steel man the case for the glasses. I have a channel and a small business where I mud footballs, break them in, review them, all that stuff. Do you know how hard it is to get a good camera angle for the mudding, brushing, break-in process? It's very hard. But some of the guys online use the glasses. And buddy, those clips look great. They do. They look really good. The question is, why are you still wearing them during private moments? You mentioned there that if they're on a bedside table or on a bathroom counter or whatever, they might still catch something. You know, maybe. You'll recall that in 2019... You know, if you remember anything before 2020, that is, like many of us, it's probably a bit of a blur. But in 2019, there was another similar scandal. Do you remember what it was?
No.
Alexa, Siri, Google Assistant, all these guys were sending audio to human reviewers. So when that happened, there was like a giant public backlash. It was a big story. I'm sure it was in Wired and a million other publications that, you know, we would know about now, but in 2019, you know, obviously we weren't exposed to this stuff. Apple settled that eventual suit for guess how much money?
Is it seven figures?
Eight figures.
Ooh, 35 mil.
95 mil. So that was a stationary listening audio only device that, by the way, also had the same TOS, you know, loophole. I'll call it a loophole, but the same TOS description that Meta is pointing to now, that your stuff might go to a human reviewer. What do you think this lawsuit is going to be worth? Because they were just sued, I think 2 hours ago, the story came out that they were part of a suit now. What is that lawsuit worth? Is it worth a billion?
Well, think about it. Everything's gone up in value. So,
but even still, in 2019 dollars, I think it's still a $1 billion suit, because you're capturing people's intimate moments. You're deciding, your AI is not working properly insofar that you're sending explicit footage to human reviewers. And now on top of that, it's leaked that you're sending that footage to human reviewers. Just so many layers of sort of data, you know, loose, leaky data problems at Meta. And they're the same company that wants to tell you who can post what on Instagram, that wants to do Instagram for kids and tell you that they're going to be able to protect kids from certain content. This is bad timing for these guys. Really bad timing. And Zuck, you know, he's maybe the best operator left in the Mag 7, dare I say. And, you know, like, this is a pretty big stain if he gets this one, if he gets kicked in the pants on this.
What about all the data harvesting they've done over the years? Not just simply
data harvesting is table stakes.
The bowing down to the powers.
It's table stakes. This is not table stakes. Sending footage of you bonking your partner or getting undressed or having a shower to a Nairobi low wage foreign staffer to review for God knows what reason, preventing
free speech from proliferating.
It's table stakes. I'm not saying you're wrong to be mad about those things. I'm saying everyone did it. That's a level playing field. This is not something everyone is doing.
I don't. All the traditional, the ones that are large, they've done it. There's some smaller outlets that didn't bow down. So just because you can't give them just a hand waving to give them, you know, a pass at it. They're all complicit. They all have blood on their hands. And just because they all do doesn't mean that it's a lesser crime.
Okay.
They're all guilty of a huge
crime. If that's your opinion, I can't tell you you're wrong. I'm just saying, to me, they're all guilty of it. And so the sort of, you know, the zero sum thinking, you know, it dictates to me that none of them are paying any real price for that product or product, service to service. Right.
What I'm trying to get at is the fact that they've all done it means that they're all trash. Every one of the CEOs that are in there are equally as trash. And you know what? Zuckerberg is just as bad as everybody else. He doesn't have a clean.
No, I don't think I don't think he's the most ethical operator. I think he's equally the best operator. Yeah, I think he's the best operator left. Well, I'll note one more thing. Kenya has no GDPR like jurisdiction. So Meta should have had to put in these like harsh contractual protections for transferring any data related to EU citizens over to that jurisdiction. And presumably they didn't do it. Meta already had to pay more than a billion pounds for a fine about that exact kind of data transfer a few years ago.
Those are Kenyan pounds.
Yeah, I think they're British pounds, but yeah, like, you know, these guys.
Shilling.
So this begs the question, Len. What is the cost of doing business? Is it $1 billion to, you know, the European Union, to some court in America? You have to sit in front of, you know, Liz Warren for a 20-minute humiliation ritual on CPAC or whatever, C-SPAN. Like, is that the cost of doing business now? Zuckerberg probably has a parking space in Washington, D.C. there. He's called in front of these committees so often. I would imagine he's expecting to get another phone call about this.
Now, are people going to run away from their platforms? Their
no,
products?
No.
So what's the cost of doing business?
Exactly.
There is no cost.
Exactly.
Cost, you could do whatever you want and people will bow down bend over and willingly take it. And you know where.
if you don't know where, all you have to do is ask the guys in Nairobi because they've seen the video. So no problem.
Depending, there. Yeah. We know who's the pitcher and who's the catcher.
Oh,
now.
God, that's so bad. So bad.
Okay, let's talk about this push notification stuff that's going on with the prayer app. And
this is jokes, too. Truly just like deranged behavior. Well,
March 2nd of this year, Israel, they hijacked the Bade Saba prayer calendar.
That's my favorite Steely Dan song. Bade Saba, won't you take me by the hand?
Oh, how many people listen to that? I could tell you 37 million people use this app. So is that number higher than this? We don't know right now. Anyways, the people that use it are also not just regular citizens, but people that are in the Iranian army. And, you know, usually they go out, they do the calls for prayers and all that stuff. And, well, not this time around. It looks like there was a message provided by the Israelis saying in Persian, that help has arrived. They're urging the soldiers to lay down their weapons for amnesty. This is all part of the Operation Epic Fury or Roaring Lion, depending on which part of the world you're from. And it just goes to show you that these guys, they have the ability to get into just about anything they want. How secure was this app to begin with? I have no idea. But the fact that they were able to get into it, and the timing of this too, is just phenomenal, by the way. You don't want to be on the wrong side of people that are able to hack into this stuff. It's just, you know, be careful what you post online or say online because, you know, you might be the receiving end and your phone could be hacked and tapped into.
It's interesting, the framing from a guy named Lucas Olgnik, who's a security researcher. I'm going to quote him. Push notifications, which is how they got these messages through the app, are trusted by design, you know, on the device side and the app side. The entire model assumes that if you installed an app, the messages it sends are legitimate. So this is a vulnerability for basically every consumer app that sends push notifications, according to this fella. Is that, you know, is every app as insecure or as secure as this? I don't know. Somehow I would guess that, you know, the prayer app doesn't have a deep and storied IT security team working behind it. It's probably quite the opposite. It's sort of a hobbyist app and something that people just download with the intent to get a reminder about prayers or whatever in that region of the world. But, you know, what's the story here? It's no matter what's on your phone, the boys in blue and white.
Nothing's sacred these days.
Not over there.
Right. Like, what the heck? Come on, guys. Let them have their prayer app.
So you go from one religious breach to another religious breach here, Canadian Tire. You know, a religion all on its own here in Canada.
Incredible. Not sure if you're one of the people out there that have...
incredible.
Well, 38 million people were impacted. You know, if you're buying hockey tape, you're buying deep fryers, whatever the heck is.
How many people are living in Canada, Len?
40 million-ish.
How did we get to 38 million affected by this? Don't you think that's a weird, like, accounts. Who came up... Okay, but like, still, are Americans setting... Like, we got
could also
Canadian
be
Tire International, I guess.
So but individual businesses, you just there could be a number
seems like a lot. That's all I'm saying. Seems like a lot.
Yeah. It does. I mean, maybe they're inflating these things, but, you know, the fact that this happened months ago and it's now being, you know, we're learning about this now.
Yeah, F minus for the time gap. Yep.
Yeah, October 2025 is when the breach technically occurred. And here we are in March. Actually, this information came out in late February. So, you know, not quite half a year, but it's close to that. And why did they wait so long? I don't know. You know, the hack... usual suspects or usual information I took, like the names, the addresses of people, email addresses, phone numbers. surprisingly, the genders. That's the most important thing, I think, from all this. Now, they say the passwords were saved in a particular hash, so they're not in plain text. You know, eventually they'll get access to that if need be, if they put enough time and effort towards it. And Canadian Tire said, because they want to make sure that their reward system, their triangle reward system, was not tainted, they say their bank and triangle reward system was untouched. So, you know, golf clap for that stuff, because keep that stuff secure. And many people out there are talking that they've learned about this through third-party apps, right? Like through third-party alerts, like the Mozilla Monitor or HIBP. It's not coming from the company themselves. So after a little while, we're finally getting information, but it's coming from third parties.
Where did Have I Been Pwned get the information from, I wonder?
It's the Hall of Pwnage, right? That's what it is. It's part of the Hall of Pwnage, right? And Canadian Tire. So they're vulnerable just like anybody else. And I hope they'll go after Radio Shack, because, you know, think of all the data they have over there when you buy batteries and whatever. They get your address, your telephone number and everything. That's next on the list, if they're still around, by the way.
Do you know what's funny? Canadian Tire made an announcement that they, you know, like you said, the passwords are hash protected, right? They use a variety of hashing called PBKDF2. It is described here in my research as the economy class of modern hashing. So
with enough time and effort, you could get into that.
They're gonna get the stuff. Yeah, exactly. Right. And so it's like a complete disaster for Canadian Tire. The best part about this too is that there's not been, you know, like an identified culprit here, because no one's taking responsibility for it. And it sounds to me, Len, like it was just someone messing around, thought Canadian Tire would be a funny target, and they made it a little further than they intended. And so I haven't heard any stories about people losing money, losing any identities through this. I mean, we may at some point, but on the bright side, you get your next set of winter tires free from Canadian Tire if you were affected. They don't give that. They don't do data monitoring. They do free winter tires. No, it's actually probably free wiper fluid or something less than tires.
That's, you put some tap water in. What the heck? No, don't put tap water.
You'll freeze up. Even
in the summer, you don't put tap water. There's a reason why, because it leaves chemicals behind. It could clog something up. You want to have as the cleanest thing possible. Full crumb sec. Lexus Nexus. They are out there. Their entire business model is about doing collection of data, everybody else's data. But you know what they've failed a ton is secure their own data, because there was a data breach by the Fulcrum Sec. And this happened on February 24th of this year. And it was a vulnerability known as a React to Shell. And that's an unpatched remote code execution flaw in the React front end. So that was exposed for months. And once they got inside, hackers were able to get access to AWS containers, and with the role of overprivileged permissions, allowing them to get access and move across company cloud infrastructure. Interesting stuff. And the funny thing is, the hackers were out there, they were joking that the master password for the RDS was Lexus 1234.
Okay, so let me ask you something about this before we keep going. Don't you think that this is the product of these stupid corporate practices where you have to change your password every like 2 months? You need something you can remember. Maybe you randomize the letters or numbers at the end, but like there's only so many characters you can remember. If you assume that the password they are given at the account creation was Lexus 123 or 1! Or 2! Or $2, like there's only so many things you have to try. There's no entropy there. So I blame, when I see stories like this, my instinct is to laugh, but then I think in a corporate environment, the policy is to blame here, not the guy who made the password.
You got to constantly change those passwords, because having the same password for many years is going to be a problem. But you're correct in that, because what I do is I simply just change the end and add an extra digit or an extra character or whatever. So because I try to, you know, like you say, you got so many passwords you better remember. And it's a secure password to begin with, but the last digit or character is, you know,
you just cycle.
And just keep going. Every 6 months, it's got to change, unfortunately. But anyways, a lot of data was stolen, 2 gigabytes worth of data, and 400,000 users profiles and so forth. Yeah, nothing else to really add to this besides, it's, you know, screw these guys.
Second breach in a year for these guys. They had another one in December 24, which was disclosed 5 months later in 25. So just over a year, they've had two breaches now over at LexisNexis. They serve over LexisNexis. So to give you an idea of what these guys have sort of under management, 91% of the Fortune 100, 85% of the Fortune 500, and 7,500 U.S. federal, state, and local government agencies.
Yeah, screw them. If they can't even...
Big organizations that are just nuked by a password like that. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
Screw them.
Oh, my God.
Let's do an audible here. Let's do this. Let's do the Anthropic story now.
Sure. Okay.
Because we can save the best for last. We might go a little longer that way. We'll just, you know. So Anthropic, is it now a national security thing, a supply chain risk to national security?
So funny.
Is it? I don't know. Because, you know, the funny thing, they were using their services for the war, right? they were blasting it and saying this and that. But apparently they were using Claude to help prioritize targets and stuff like that. If that's the truth, I don't even know, but it sounds plausible to me. But the fact that they can make this a national security risk, like, why? Like,
come they on, didn't man. Actually do it yet, right? It's just tweets and emails so far, but yeah, nothing official.
Department of War, too.
Yeah.
What a name.
I mean, I don't know about this. Did you watch the interview with Dario on 60 Minutes? I think it was on
60
Minutes. The CEO of Anthropic. He does a pretty good job laying out their case. And I got to be honest.
I'm sympathetic.
Same, of course. Like, I don't want to have my software used for mass domestic surveillance or autonomous weapons. There's already too many layers of insulation in terms of responsibility between the power and the outcome. And why would you want to be involved in another probably extremely dense, insulation layer between those two things? If you're Anthropic, I don't think you would be. And then, of course, gutless human worm Sam Altman swoops in and says, we'll kill minorities for you overseas. We'll monitor everybody. No problem. Like, that guy is constantly on his knees for the state, trying so hard to use legislative ladders to keep whatever advantage he thinks ChatGPT and OpenAI have intact, even though every other service, save for Copilot, which is truly dog shit, every other service is catching and exceeding their quality now. So I'm not surprised to see this. I will just note that this has never been carried out on any like domestic American company in the last 10 years. It's never happened. So you have all these wars, all these other things going on, and they never decided to do this until they don't want to do mass surveillance. And by the way, what are the odds that the reason they did this, it was not the rejection of the offer from the Department of War, it was the going public with the ask that really was the problem.
That's interesting, but let's be honest, like the war that they just had, and it was the jab war, they didn't have to do this because everybody was on board.
That's right.
And able to, so... Right. It was just, you know, they all just rank and file. You're all part of the team and good for you. But really, the last time they had any type of war was Iraq. Right. It's 20 years ago. Like, we didn't have anything like this.
While back now. Yeah.
Right. And you know, not even social media really existed at that time. ICQ. Right. Like, maybe a little bit past this time, but that point. But still, like, it's now uncharted waters, and they're going to be doing this. I kind of, like I said, I'm sympathetic towards Anthropic, because could you imagine that they go through this and they use it, like you say, for mass surveillance for domestic citizens, or maybe using it for autonomous lethal weapons creation of that? And how do you sleep at night when you realize that your tool that you developed is being used for that?
Yeah,
in a way that's just not helping out people's lives.
Well, it can't be allowed. It can't be allowed.
I hope,
but it's going to be. Of course, it's going to be. Like, what? You've seen this video floating around of the coffee shop in the U.S. that tracks how many cups of coffee each customer is getting from each barista.
Is that real? I've seen the video, but I don't know
real.
How real.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. So you know, this is going to happen more and more. The question is, like, how much are we willing to put up with? And I'm sad to say that the answer is, you know, a lot.
The real question is, how does that one barista doing 20 cups and then the one's doing three? Like, yeah, that's like,
we got to get that guy to piss in a cup. All day. We got to get that guy to piss in a cup after his shift, I think. We got to see what's going on.
The 20 or the three? Or
both? The 20. PEDs, buddy. It's a plague out there.
Well, you know what? If you could do a job that phenomenally, like
he wasn't doing 20. He wasn't doing 20 cups last year. He was only doing 10 cups.
It's okay, now, man. You know, if he's doing something, I'm all for the steroid era in baseball. You know what? I love that era. It was wonderful. It created a lot of people to watch.
Sosa Maguire. I still remember that from when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Barry Bonds, that guy was a phenomenal. And, you know,
yeah,
not all steroids, but some of it had to do with it. But
sure.
Let's talk about this Digital Age Assurance Act.
This is your time. It's your time to shine. I might just turn the mic off and go have an app.
No. I tried looking in the background when we were chatting. Are you sure? And I want to see proof that Debian said something, because how could Debian even agree to such
I'm going to find it right now.
They don't have they're a decentralized system. I don't understand how you could have something like that bow down to this. In fact, I was even commenting that Canonical, the cucks of all the Linux distros owners, would probably bet on it. Even they said no, they're just looking into it. They're having their lawyers investigate what options are available to them. So if the cucks aren't doing it, I don't think the people in Debian would even consider doing such
a thing. I was wrong. It's not Debian.
So the reality is, because you have the GPL version 2 library, the licensing that's applicable to the kernel itself.
Mm-hmm.
And by nature of that, that gives any user the ability, just by the nature of the license, to strip out whatever you want within the source code. You could take it out, you could manipulate it, you could share it. That's essentially what the GPL version 2 allows. So they could somehow force this upon people. I don't think it's even possible in such a fractured community like the Linux community is. But even if that's possible, you could easily just strip it out. And where does that information get stored? So many people have mentioned that Linux, there's no centralized body. It would store it where? There's no server, there's no nothing. So that information,
the legislation demands there's an API.
Right. And it would communicate with other apps to give it to
presumably with some centralized body somewhere. I don't know. Like that seems to me to be the way they're going to try and share the data or get the data back. I'm honestly not sure. It's not, by the way, it wasn't Debian. I was wrong about that. It was
Fedora,
System 76. So Pop okay. OS. Yeah, it's going to be obliging. Although they are vocally against it, the press release says they're going to do it. So
you're going to have that now. You hypothetically Pop OS, which by the way is
it's popular.
One of the easier ones,
popular.
One of the easier ones to use. You'll have mirror sites that give you the ability to download the ISO, and then you could download the software from there. And then install the software from there. But you'd have mirrors in California, mirrors in Turkey, a mirror in Finland, mirror all over the world. But only the one in California, you'd think, if they were ever going to do this, would be in agreement with this law and change the way that they'd have to store that information. Then all it takes is for somebody just to switch the mirror, download it from somebody else, in a country that doesn't agree to this or jurisdiction doesn't agree with it, and you're off to the races. So it's a toothless thing. Unless they're going to mandate every computer have it and then knock on everybody's door and check everybody's computer and do that. Failing that, this has absolutely no way that it's going to happen on every operating system. Even stuff like Windows and Mac OS, there's no way they could do this. They could try to do this, but the way I'm figuring it out, if you get like a copy that's purchased in a different jurisdiction, it's probably not going to have this. You install it. How can they stop you?
I think it's going to be on everything inside of 2 years. Yeah. Linux, I don't know. But
it's impossible.
iPhones and stuff, are going to have this for sure.
Well, iPhones already have it. iPhones and like Android phones already have it because you sign up to their service.
You have an Android account or Google account or an
100%.
Account. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. You could try something like Graphene if you want that is totally stripped of all that shit. Pardon my language. And then so you could then get around it like that. But even then, like that's why I'm thinking for stuff like Windows and Mac, I'm not sure they could force this upon the end user to have this done for them. Unless every other jurisdiction follows suit and it's just a worldwide thing. But then that's closed source system. When you're talking about Linux where it's open source, GPL version 2, you know, you could do whatever you want with it. You know, it doesn't stop you from doing it. It's akin to like Bitcoin. You know, you could have a particular client that has something, you know, like it, go to a different client. As long as it adheres to the network rules, mm-hmm. you could run it. And it may be slightly different. It might have a different front end. It may not ask for your age or name, but you have any, you know, you could do it. It's open source. Do whatever you want.
I don't know what to say about this, except that it's part of a suddenly very coordinated, very overt attempt to de-anonymize the entire internet at every stage of electronics use. You know, it's interesting. Where do you draw the line on something like this? Because there's a lot of different operating systems that are a little less obvious, right? Like your fridge.
I was just going to go there.
Your fridge has an operating system.
Everything.
Your Ring camera. Your, you know, right. So what is it that you're asking people to do for their fridge? Verify their age. And what does it mean to be a user of the fridge? Do I have to verify every time I go to the fridge? I open the fridge. What is the plan for something like that? Now this also has
an operating system.
Cold cards. Bitcoin wallets.
Are they
going to
force that upon
them? It's a good question.
No, they're not.
Well, they're going to try. And right. I think the only disagreement you and I have is how far they're willing to go to make it a reality. And I don't know, you know, if it's as bad as I think it's going to be, or if it's, you know, maybe not all doom and gloom, which is, I think, where you're sitting. But isn't this is completely insane that this is not being like met with pitchforks and torches.
Where is this being introduced? Oh, sorry. Where is this signed into law?
Nowhere yet. California. Nowhere. Yeah.
No, state of California. This has to come.
Yeah, I mean, well, whatever. I mean, this
place. January 1st, 2027.
They're just full of junkies over there. Like, what's going
right?
On in California?
So, yeah. Why they're not going to be the one? Every time they have an honored dignitary come over, they start sweeping up the streets and make sure it looks clean. That's what they do in California. Other jurisdictions don't do that kind of stuff. They're a little bit more grounded, to say the least. And these guys. What happens to Gavin Newsom, right? Is he going to be somebody that's going to be running? It's now going into the weeds here. Will he be the Democratic nominee, or try to at least run to be the Democratic nominee?
Oh, probably, yeah.
And if he does, with this ideology of having this on a state level, could it not be brought out on a federal level?
For sure. I want to read you something from the research pack here. Google's senior director of government affairs called this, the legislation, quote, one of the most thoughtful approaches we've ever seen, unquote. Okay. Why would he say that?
Where are they located? They're not going to
hang on. It's not that easy. The reason why he would say that is because it moves liability away from the platforms onto OS developers, right? Operating systems and developers. So if the operating system provides a signal and the devs receive it, then the platform is no longer the entity with the quote unquote actual knowledge, which is the hurdle here for this legislation. So they're just kind of passing the liability downstream.
But they're a major operating system.
They are, but huge. I think people are not thinking about it at the mobile level at the moment. They're thinking about it at, like, the home PC level, I think, which is correct. Like, you should be thinking about it there, because it's really a bridge too far, in my opinion, to do this. And you can see why certain groups want this. And again, like, it can't be said often enough that the whole point of this is to de-anonymize the internet. The policies being implemented all over the modern world are so unpopular, so harebrained, that instead of, you know, just listening to the people in a democratic system, which, by the way, we don't live in. Voting doesn't matter. It matters the same as you smashing the, you know, wait button at the crosswalk. If it actually made a difference, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. The reason they're doing this is because they're tired of seeing, you know, anti-Israel tweets or anti-UBI tweets or whatever, right? Whatever policy they're thinking about putting in, they're tired of seeing dissent and they're trying to silence it. It's obvious. It is obvious. Now, here's a question for you. A company like YouTube that has a lot of people watching without being signed in or watching incognito or trying to, you know, sort of skate away from identifying themselves on the internet, do they follow something like this, knowing that it will really damage their user numbers, their daily active user numbers? Does a company like Instagram do this, right? Meta, knowing that it will damage their user numbers to remove anonymity from comment sections and accounts? I don't know that they will. And I think they're really the targets of something like this down the road. And they're big enough to push back in a lot of ways, right? I don't know what that's going to look like, because they're not, there's no way they're going to be willing to give up this pipeline of good little phone addicted kids, or anonymous users who post funny content or borderline illegal content. Like, I follow so many accounts that explore abandoned buildings in Ontario. You could do that
on Instagram, because I'm just newly
Instagram. Yeah, you can be anonymous.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
you know. Oh, yeah. So you don't need to put in a real name. You don't need to put
I didn't realize.
I think the only thing they want is a phone number. Get a burner. Get a pay as you go. Whatever. Right. Okay. Like, it's not that hard.
You know? I thought you were talking about you could post without even having an account. The same way you're talking about watching YouTube with like new pipe.
Yeah. Or not quite the same, but you get the idea. I think those companies will push back, because that's a big part of their model, right? You have to build your base, so to speak. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this turns out. I sincerely hope that this dies on the vine, but it seems to me like there's a lot of firepower behind it.
Just when you're online, make sure you have a different name. I'm Gurjeet from Chennai when I'm online. Make sure that
my buddy's got a place. My buddy's, I shouldn't say this on the internet, but I will anyway. His PlayStation.
Wait, you sure you want to say it?
His PlayStation name online is one of the best names I've ever heard. Dr. Fortuitous. It's so
Johnny good. Roast Beef from the Goodfellas, best freaking name out there. Johnny Roast Beef.
Let's get out of here. Good show. Thanks for coming, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube if you're watching. We're getting plays now, but it's inconsistent. I need to see more people coming to YouTube for that video content. And of course, if you want to read more stories about the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach, accessofeasy.com is where you go for that. Easy DNS. If you want to find out more about what's going on in that world. And until next time, friends, take care of yourselves. Take care.